This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Slammed Podcast. I am Justin Turpin, back here for another edition of what we are going to call the Terp Chirp. Last time we didn't have a name for it. It was kind of between Slammed on the Go and the Terp Chirp. And personally, I've decided the Terp Chirp is a much cooler name. So we're going to go with that one. The masses didn't really get a chance to speak on that one, but I'm going to go with the Terp Chirp because it sounds a lot more cool. So we're going to get into it with the Terp Chirp, where basically we just react to whatever Celtics game just unfolded. And let's get right into it. Tonight, they're in Detroit taking on the Pistons. And this couldn't be any more different than what we saw Wednesday night against the Bucks. You go from playing the Milwaukee Bucks on national television, and that's a team that many people believe that the Celtics could see come May in the Eastern Conference Finals. So you go from seeing them to the 12-win Detroit Pistons. And no disrespect to the Detroit Pistons, because they're trying hard. Monty Williams, those guys are fighting hard. There's no quitting that team. But they are what they are. Entering Friday night, they had lost 4 straight. And the reality is they're relying on two-way players and guys on 10-day deals to fill their rotation. And this really jumped out to me. I caught this stat pregame. The 2023-24 Pistons have had 30 different players appear in a game this season. That's tied for the most in NBA history with the 2020-2021 Houston Rockets. Do you know how impressive that is? They have surpassed, like, COVID teams during that season where it was people always coming in and off the COVID reserve list where it even brought Greg Monroe to Boston. Like, they are beating out these teams, and, you know, that's kind of why they're sitting where they are at 12-58. Because when you look at this team, they're not as bad as their record may reflect. Like, they have pieces, and I think you see bits and pieces of it, but this team is just, they haven't been able to stay healthy. Like, when you're getting 30 players on one team in a single season, and we're in March, past the pandemic at this point, that's impressive. That's insane. It's impossible when you're talking about a young team built around Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, James Wiseman. These guys are all young dudes. You look at their roster, and you see their core pieces, obviously. Cade Cunningham, 22 years old. Jalen Duren, 20 years old. James Wiseman, 22. And then I completely forgot that they have Taj Gibson. Like, imagine Taj Gibson minutes in the NBA in 2023 and 2024 now. That is absolutely bananas. So that team's really not as bad as the record may reflect. But nonetheless, like this could not be, this was night and day from what you're coming into. And the Celtics, they've built their success this season on the idea of mindset. It's been the foundation. It's been a principle from day one, a philosophy they knew coming into this road trip was going to be tested. Jason Tatum talked about it after the game Wednesday. acknowledging that huge difference from playing Milwaukee on national TV to playing Detroit. And everyone knows what the Pistons are, unfortunately. And the Celtics didn't overlook that. And I know Jason Tatum didn't play, but the sentiment still remains the same. Celtics also without Jrue Holiday with a shoulder injury. We'll get into that in a little bit. And Al Horford, who they listed with a big left toe sprain. But, I mean, like we said on the previous episode, I mean, big left toe sprain. I mean, I'm sure it's painful, but that's really just code word for rest. But Friday night challenged one of the Celtics' core philosophies. And once again, they didn't stray away from what makes them so dangerous. They just took care of business with the 27-point win over a team that's not very good. But it's been the story all year that they just come in and take care of business, as evidenced by their 27-1 record against sub-500 teams. And just for comparison, you look at last year against sub-500 teams, they were 24-10. The year before that finals run, 23-10. So this has been an issue for the Celtics for years now, and this has been really ever in the Tatum-Brown era, even before then. It's just kind of been an issue where there's always been this worry that the Celtics would play down to their opponents, and that just hasn't been the case this season. And I credit that a lot to that mindset where they really do come in, and Joe Mazzulla laid this foundation from day one where they come in and they genuinely try to win every game, every practice, every shoot-around, whatever it may be. They've learned from the past mistakes of taking days off and losing focus, which, of course, when you're talking about a 48-minute game, an 82-game slate, it's inevitable in a way. But the Celtics have done whatever they can, and they've done their best to really limit those lapses and those lulls that proved so costly in last year's postseason. Obviously, falling behind 0-3 to the Heat was a lot because they would have those chronic lulls during a game, and they just kind of overlooked opponents. And it's been a story for years now, and really it's one that they've corrected. And like I said, 27-1 against teams with a losing record. And just coming out and taking care of business puts them in rarefied air because they're just doing that every single night. So the victory on Friday night is their 15th by 24 or more points this season. That ties an NBA record set by the Milwaukee Bucks in 70-71 and the 2015-16 San Antonio Spurs. Furthermore, it also marked their 17th 20-point victory this season for the Celtics. They've reached that number twice in franchise history, and each of those times has resulted in a trip to the NBA Finals. In 2021-22, they had 18 wins. In 2007-08 season, they had 22. So they're just coming in and taking care of business on a nightly basis, no matter who's in or who's out. And they did that again on Friday night. Let's jump into some of the takeaways from Friday night. Let's start with this one. And this is what I think is one of the most deadly traits of the Celtics. And they do a lot of things well. Obviously, you don't go 56-14 without being a really well-rounded team. But one of the things I think they do exceptionally well, and that's going to make a big difference come the postseason, is their ability to just deliver haymakers and put team, especially against inferior teams. I think this means a lot more, where they have the ability to just go on these knockout runs. And they did it Wednesday night against Milwaukee. Milwaukee cut the lead to 5 right out of the half. The Celtics then pushed it to 18, but then they got comfortable. The lead disappeared. They didn't let that happen Friday night. For the first 16 minutes of this one, Detroit was able to keep things close. I mean, that's some sloppy defense from the Celtics in the first quarter. And to Detroit's credit, they played one of their better quarters, probably of the season, in the first quarter. They came out ready to go. They had energy from the start, and the Celtics weren't matching it right from the jump, which they obviously fixed, and we'll get to that with this run. But it was the poor defense coupled with some poor rebounding, which allowed the Pistons to find their groove offensively. They totaled 46 points on 18-31 shooting over the first 16 minutes. They out-rebounded the Celtics 15-10 over that stretch. 5 of those rebounds coming on the offensive glass. And you saw right around the 4-minute mark, Kristaps Porzingis had a block on Cade Cunningham. And James Wiseman grabbed the offensive rebound and put it back in for a 5-footer. And Joe Mazzulla called a timeout and ripped into his team. The NBC broadcast caught him saying some words that we will not repeat on this podcast, but he was fired up. And that's because he pays such close attention to the margins. And it's pretty simple. Are you getting more shots up than your opponent? Are you out-rebounding them? That's really where their game is won or lost. That's simple basketball math. Where at the end of the day, that's where the game's decided. And it makes sense when, you know, when he emphasizes all the margins, because theoretically, if you're getting more shots up than your opponent, you have a better chance to win. When you're getting more offensive rebounds, you're creating more opportunities to get more shots, leading to a better chance to win. And same thing goes when you're dominating the turnover margin. And the turnover margin is, it's a topic in every sport. Because in any sport, when you're turning the ball over, it typically doesn't mean well for your team. And that's why Joe Mazzulla is so keen on the margins. That's why it's such a major point of emphasis for him. And it makes sense. It's pretty simple. It's just basic basketball math. And at the end of the day, that's where the game is won or lost. So it makes sense. Anyways, Mazzulla doesn't really get that fired up. So it was interesting to see that. And he had every right to be pissed off about his team. Like, they were getting out-hustled. And he kicks that timeout, rips into them a little bit. And about 4 or 5 minutes later, they were all set. And then here comes that big run. With the way that the Celtics offense was playing right from the start, they were getting everything offensively. The problem is, the same thing was happening for Detroit, because Boston's defense was kind of a mess to start. They were getting killed on the glass. But the way their offense was playing, it was only a matter of time until that big run came, until they kind of slowed them down on the boards and started to string together stops. And when they did, they ran away with the game. Right at the 8-minute mark, Jaden Ivey had an and one, hit it on Derek White. He hit the free throw, gave Detroit a 46-45 lead at the 8:03 mark of the second quarter. That's where the Celtics started to string together stops. They closed that final 8:03 of the second quarter on a 24-7 run, and it was all sparked by their defense. The Pistons finished with more turnovers, they had 5 of them, than made buckets, which they had 3, over that 8-minute stretch. And that gave Boston a 16-point lead heading into the halftime. Over that stretch, the Pistons shot 3 of 14, so that equals about 21% from the field, and they shot 1 of 10 from distance. And in contrast, the Celtics shot 8 of 15, that's above 53%, serving as a perfect example of complementary basketball, defense to offense or vice versa. And when you're down 16 at the half to the best team in basketball, that's a daunting task for any team, let alone the 12-win Detroit Pistons. And that was it. The Celtics cruised to victory after that point. They built their lead up to as many as 27 points. And of all the things the Celtics do well, which they, like I said, they do a lot of things well, because you don't win 56 games without doing a lot of things well. This is one of their most lethal traits, where they have the ability to knock you down and keep you on the mat. And Friday night was another example of that, where they kind of did that in Milwaukee, where they build the 20-point lead in the third quarter. Obviously, they lose it, but they have that ability to go on these big runs and effectively put the game away. Very rarely has it came back, has a team been able to come back and win the game when that happens. And after Friday night, the Celtics are 53-4 when they are tied or leading at the end of the third quarter, and 48-7 when tied or leading at the half. So this is the trait of a championship team, one that can just knock you out in an instant. You blink and the Celtics can go on a big run like this, because all it takes is a handful of stops, because their offense is as deadly as it comes. It's one of, in terms of efficiency, one of the best in NBA history. Not just the league, NBA history. So these guys are really hard to stop. So once you're getting these stops, it just pretty much is, it leads to these knockout runs, and it makes the Celtics so deadly. And that's a really important trait that they're going to have for the postseason. And on the contrast to that, where when the other team goes on a run, the Celtics do a great job of responding. Basketball truly is a game of runs. That's where their game is won or lost. And inevitably, there are going to be runs from each team throughout a game. It's just how you respond to those runs. In the case of the Celtics, for the most part, when they go on these runs, they are just so deadly, and it just it blows the game open. Because when you go up, like I said, 18 points, it's just tough to string together that many consecutive stops against the Celtics, especially now. Whereas last year, they were really three ball reliant. And don't get me wrong, they still rely heavily on the three ball, but they have other outlets, and that includes one of my favorite, getting the ball to Kristaps Porzingis right at the nail, letting him go to work right in the middle of the paint. You also have the post-ups. They were second in post-up frequency last time I checked, about a week ago. Nothing tells me that that has changed. Maybe with Jrue Holiday out, I mean, it might drop a hair, but it's not moving a ton. And they have so many different outlets, which they didn't have last year. So once they go ahead, it's a dangerous game because they have all these outlets, but they play best when they're out in transition, when they're running, when they're playing fast. When they slow down, that's often when those turnovers come to effect. But they just have so many ways to beat you once they get these leads. So these runs might be the most deadly thing they can do to a team because they just run away with games. And for any team, like I said, when you're looking at the Celtics and you see guys like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kristaps Porzingis all averaging above 20 points per game this season, you got Derek White, who's beyond capable of being a scorer. I'll throw Jrue Holiday in there as well. Jrue Holiday's really found his groove since right around probably the West Coast trip, right around Christmas. He's really found his groove offensively. Obviously leads the league in corner three-point shooting this year, and we'll get to his injury a little bit later. And one concern I have with it, but that's the thing with the Celtics team, is they just have so many ways to beat you, and these runs are probably the most lethal way. And it's a championship trait, and one that is going to do them wonders come the postseason. Another thing I liked tonight was Jaylen Brown. Anytime Tatum has been sidelined this year, Jaylen Brown has been there to fill that scoring void. And good for Jaylen, because he's been really open about when he is the number one taking pride. He's a very prideful person. And when he's the number one, he takes pride in his ability to take over the game as a scorer. And credit to Jaylen, because he hasn't been defined simply off scoring this year. We talked about this on the previous episode, where his game is so well-rounded that it's not just about scoring for him anymore. And you look at Friday night, he still has that ability to just completely shoulder the load. And when you think about teams, like when you think about nights when they have 33 points, like it was rather quiet 33 from Jaylen Brown. But nonetheless, he's averaging 32.6 points per game across the five that Tatum has missed this season. In those games, he's shooting 61.8% from the field and 51.9% from deep. To go along with his 32.6 points, he's got 6.2 boards, 3.4 assists, and a steal. And the Celtics are a plus 61 with Brown on the floor in those games. And really what we're seeing from Jaylen Brown since the All-Star break has been nothing short of incredible. And I do want to play the sound from Joe Mazzulla post-game tonight, where he's just appreciating what we're seeing from Jaylen Brown, because I think that's something a lot of Celtics fans need to do, just appreciate what we're seeing and just the pure dominance that he is on. Here's Coach Joe.
I've just seen great stuff. I love just the way he's carrying himself out there on the court. He's processing each and every possession on both ends of the floor. He's taking the shots that he wants. He's making plays for himself, for his teammates. It's been an honor to coach him. He's been just playing well-rounded basketball on both ends. So it's been fun to watch.
I mean, it's been fun for me to watch, and I'm not his head coach, so I can only imagine how Joe's feeling. But it's funny, because we've been talking all year about how Jaylen Brown's playing the best basketball of his career. People started asking questions in November, because he started off a little bit slow first week of October when the Celtics were playing, and into early November. But towards the end of late November, people were like, all right, is Jaylen Brown playing the best basketball of his career? It was then a conversation in December. Still a conversation in January, and we're still talking about it now in March, and that's just a testament to his growth. And really, since the All-Star break, he has reestablished himself into the All-NBA and All-Defensive Player conversation. I mean, when you keep in mind that with the new CBA, you have to play at least 65 games to be eligible, and there's a laundry list of notable names. I'm just going to hit a couple for you here, the guys that are already ineligible: Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Kyrie Irving, Ja Morant, Marcus Smart, OG Anunoby, LaMelo Ball, Bradley Beal, Kristaps Porzingis, Zach LaVine, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Jamal Murray, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, Desmond Bane, Tyler Hero, Chris Middleton, Donovan Mitchell, Karl Anthony Towns, Trae Young, and Devin Booker. That's a lot of big-name talent that is already out of the running for these postseason awards. And Jaylen Brown has just completely reestablished himself. I already thought he had a case for all NBA. Obviously, he was all NBA last year. And it's important to realize, too, that with the new CBA, voting's now positionless. So last year, if you remember, it was a big conversation of whether they were going to consider Jalen a guard or a wing. We don't have to worry about that this year because it's now positionless. And since the All-Star break, he has been among the best players in the NBA. He's averaging 28.8 points per game over that stretch. That's good for fourth most in the league, trailing just Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And for all you weirdos that still like to talk about the left-hand jokes, I think those have been laid to rest this year. I mean, there are still people that are out there that still want to poke fun at the turnovers and the left-hand jokes. I want to leave you with this, too. He's the only player averaging at least 25 points with fewer than two turnovers per game since the All-Star break. He's only averaging 1.6, and that's impressive considering how much ball handling Jaylen Brown has done this year. And we've talked ad nauseum on the podcast about his growth in that department. But his impact on both ends of the floor has really thrown him into that conversation for both awards. And he has made it a point all year to prioritize the defensive end. And credit to him, because the Celtics have had an increased awareness, an increased focus on the defensive end this year. And I credit that to Jaylen Brown, Joe Mazzulla, and I think Jrue Holiday deserves credit for that as well, where these guys have come in, bought into the defensive end of the ball, and everyone's followed. And that's not possible without your top guys doing it. I think Joe Mazzulla realized last year, and he admitted this media day all the way back in October, where he didn't emphasize defense enough because he felt like it was obvious. And that's the growing pains of being a young coach. And again, we've talked about it, how Joe Mazzulla was kind of thrown to the fire, and he was learning, and he learned from that. And this year, he's viewed defense as the entry ticket, knowing that, especially when you're talking about the game that he likes to watch, the margins, that's not really possible if your defense isn't doing its job. So I credit Joe, Jalen, and Jrue a lot for the defensive intensity and the increased focus on the defensive end this year. And Brown has a legitimate case for all defensive. I mean, he's locked down. Again, it's not going to look at on the box score like when you look at Dame had 32 points, but he did a nice job on Damian Lillard on Wednesday. I think he only had 6 points in 7 minutes on Jalen. Pardon me, I don't know that off the top of my head, but I think it was 6 points in 7 minutes on Jalen. I know for a fact he was 2 of 4 shooting against Jalen, but Jalen made him work all night. And most of the time he's been picking up an opponent's best player. We saw, like, it really took off when he shut down Luka Doncic. As much as you're going to shut down Luka Doncic, he had Luka Doncic frustrated, really made him work. He still had a 30-point triple-double, but Jalen did a terrific job on Luka, and he's really been taking that role of taking on an opponent's best scorer, and he's really excelled when they've been guards, which is impressive to watch. Like, Dame's watching him in real life, he's fast, he's smart with the ball, and Jalen did a great job with him. So I think Jalen has made his case for all NBA, all defensive, but we'll get into that on another episode with Megan and Esteban someday down the road. We'll continue the Terp Chirp here, and we'll go to the next thing I liked. We'll go with picking up where they left off, and that's in regard to Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser. Just like we were talking about Jalen Brown's steady development, these guys have been equally consistent. And one of my favorite stats this season is the Celtics are 9-0 when missing two or more of their preferred starting five. Obviously, they are missing Jrue Holiday and Jason Tatum, who fit that criteria. So that moved them to 9-0 tonight, Friday night. And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
How's a return after a two-game absence due to that sprained ankle? He wasn't shy about letting it fly, which I absolutely love. He never really is, but he didn't ease into things. It wasn't as efficient as his 10-for-13 performance on Sunday afternoon, but he showed he didn't lose his touch. He jacked up 11 triples, knocked down 4, finished with 14 on the night. That was the most by any reserve for either team. But more importantly, he appeared to be moving around really well. I got to see him warm up Wednesday before the Bucks, and honestly, I thought he was going to play. I thought he looked really good warming up. He had an ankle brace on, but it wasn't anything heavy, and he seemed to be moving really well. So I thought he was going to give it a go. Probably smart when you don't necessarily need him to play, kind of just rest him in. And I'm interested to see if he'll play tomorrow night in Chicago on the back-to-back, assuming if they're flying, it might swell up a little bit on the plane. So we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if he sits tomorrow, but all in all, he looked good. Really, his touch is still there, was moving around well, which is a good sign, because when he first fell, it looked like that could be a couple weeks, and to miss only two games is pretty impressive. Speaking of picking up where they left off, Peyton Pritchard. Man, what he's doing this year is special, and I give Peyton a lot of credit, and what he's done this year for the Celtics has just given them a whole nother outlet. Like, when they took the flyer on him, giving him that extension after he had an amazing preseason, I think people were a little skeptical, but Pritchard has proven this man can ball, and he's been fantastic in his role, whether that is providing spot starts or coming off the bench. And tonight was no different. Finished with 20 points, 8 of 15 shooting, 9 assists, 2 boards, and almost 38 minutes of work. And he's just been phenomenal. I mean, we've been talking about Pritchard, it feels like, for weeks now, because he's gotten a ton of opportunity with a lot of rest, and obviously he's already a mainstay in the rotation, so it just kind of highlights it a little bit more. But it's crazy to think, like, this time last year he was actively seeking a trade. He was unhappy that he wasn't traded at the deadline, and I don't think there was many people that thought he'd be back with Boston. And then you see the Marcus Smart trade goes down, you trade Malcolm Brogdon, and a whole opportunity opened for Pritchard to see an increased role, and he's made the most of it. And Friday night was no different. And it's impressive. His numbers as a starter, he's been incredible. Granted, a small sample size. Friday night was just his third of the season, but he's been great in those games. He's averaging 18 points on 52.5% shooting from the field, 45.4 from deep, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, and over his last 4 games, where we've seen him get a lot of run with all the injuries, he's averaging 19 points, 8 assists, and shooting 55% from deep. So shout out Peyton Pritchard, because he's been doing this all year, and I know he started off the year a little bit slow, but even when he wasn't hitting his shots earlier in the year, he was still impacting the game, really just doing the little things. And he's become, like, considering he's 6'1", he is an excellent offensive rebounder. And he's always making those energy plays. And I think it was really evident on Wednesday against the Bucks when Pat Beverly hit the too small on Luke Kornet and Pritchard took it personally. And he just continues to just do whatever the team asks for him whenever they need it. And I give these guys a ton of credit. I know Al Horford is part of that top 6 rotation, but when you're looking at the Celtics bench, and granted, I've been all over the Stay Ready group as well, I think everyone from top to bottom has done a fantastic job in their roles. But most importantly, like, I look at Al Horford, Peyton Pritchard, and Sam Hauser, because by the numbers, the Celtics have one of the most effective benches in the game. Like, their plus minus, their net rating, it's all great. And all these guys had a different role. I mean, Al Horford obviously has been a starter for 14 years now, comes off the bench, and he's been splitting his time. It's more of a swing role with him where anytime someone's down, he's come in and started, and he's done a terrific job. And I give him a lot of credit. Obviously, Pritchard and Hauser coming into the year. Like, Hauser was in the rotation last year, but he also found himself out at different parts of the season. And both of them were really defined by their shooting. And much like Jaylen Brown, impact the game in different ways now. Joe Mazzulla has been all over both of their defense, and I think both of them are terrific rebounders as well, where they are complete players. And their contributions this year should not be overlooked, because they are going to be a big factor come the postseason. And really the coming weeks, because today Adam Himmelsbach had the story in the Boston Globe that Drew Holiday is dealing with dead arm, and there's some uncertainty surrounding his return. A quick thought on this. I wouldn't really be concerned about it. A quick Google search, and I know you're never supposed to look up your symptoms. If there's one thing I learned from my mother, it's you never look up your symptoms online. It's never anything good. However, I got some good news on this one. Typically, the best way to treat the dead arm is just physical therapy and ice and rest, which an NBA training staff has all the above. And with the Celtics head and shoulders above the Eastern Conference, seeding just two games to clinch the top seed, Drew Holiday can rest all he wants, because there's no pressure for him to return, which opens up more opportunity for guys like Pritchard and Hauser. So these guys and their reliable contributions are going to become a key factor for the Celtics, not only this postseason, but even as the Celtics get there. Because, you know, you never want to just start losing games. Like, you want to win every game you can, although they don't necessarily matter after the Celtics win two more. They want to go into the playoffs as a high note. Every team wants to win as many games as they can. So these guys are going to be crucial if Drew Holiday misses some substantial time. And in terms of Drew, the only thing I'd worry about is the shooting stroke. He's been super effective from the corner three, especially. He's really been finding his offense since that second last week of December, like we talked about earlier. So that's the one thing that would concern me there. I haven't seen him get any shots up. Granted, there haven't been a ton of practices at the Auerbach Center. He hasn't been warming up, getting shots up before the game, at least from what I've seen. So I don't know how much shooting he's doing. I'm assuming there's got to be some in there, as this is a shoulder injury. It's not really what Malcolm Brogdon had last year with that forearm injury that sounded a lot to affect his shooting a lot more. But obviously it's a reason for concern when you're talking about one of these guys. But I wouldn't think too much about it. Just reading a quick basic search. Again, I'm not a doctor, and you're never supposed to look up your symptoms. But from what I saw, things look pretty good for Drew Holiday. So let's rest him up. There's no reason to rush him back, and the Celtics have the luxury of doing that. And especially when Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser are playing the way they are now, it's like they're giving – we'll see how much they play in the postseason, but like they're giving some of their best contributions now, where the Celtics can rely on them for 38 minutes a game and – not be worried that they're going to be out there and get shown up by an opponent. So shout out to them, and their contributions are going to be massive over the next couple of months, especially while Drew Holiday is out recovering. We'll move on a couple more here. Another thing I liked was defense to offense. We talked about the connectivity of the game. That's something Joe Mazzulla preaches constantly. It's you can't have good offense without good defense, can't have good defense without good offense. And typically it's the defense to offense part that stands out. And I think that was obvious in that run we discussed earlier at the end of the second quarter, that 24-7 run. I think that really highlighted that, where it was the defense getting stops and allowing the offense to get out and run and do their thing. And I just wanted to point this out. Like, the defense on Friday, holding Detroit to 102 points and you're forcing 18 turnovers, it just makes life easier on the defensive end. Obviously, 27 points on 18 forced turnovers makes things easier, because you're able to get out and run. And the Celtics, like I said, play best when they're out and running. But it also allows the flow of the game to just come naturally, which I think is in direct association with the lesser turnovers, right? When they're playing fast, they're getting stops, they're getting turnovers. I think the Celtics' turnover numbers tend to be down. And tonight, they turned the ball over just 7 times. And they had 31 assists on the other end. And to the point about the assist, and I've talked about this before as well, where assists are a misleading stat, because you have to make the shot for it to count as an assist. But when the Celtics are moving the ball, and the ball movement was great on Friday night, really it's been great since the All-Star break, they've reached the 30 assist mark in 7 of their 15 games since the break. And in the Joe Mazzulla era, When the ball's moving around and they're racking up assists, that's typically meant good things for the Celtics, as they're 36-4 when they reach 30 assists, and they're 20-2 this season. And that all starts on the defensive end. So shout out the defense, because I really liked their activity tonight, especially considering they were without Drew Holiday and Jason Tatum. I really liked it. And we'll end the Terp Chirp on this one here. I want to touch on this. This was just the first of this season-long six-game road trip, and the reality is a lot of it is going to be more of the same. Five of the six opponents on this trip have a record below 500. The only team with a winning record is the New Orleans Pelicans, who just lost their second leading scorer in Brandon Ingram to a knee injury for at least 2 weeks, so he's not going to play against the Celtics. So I think this mindset, the idea of mindset where it's been the key word for the Celtics all year, is going to be tested throughout this road trip, really any road trip for that matter. But that'll do it for tonight's Terp Chirp. If you enjoy the show, which I hope you do, give us a follow. Give us a like. Give us a review. Give us a subscribe. Smash that subscribe button. Just search up Slammed Podcast anywhere you get your podcast, on a free Odyssey app, wherever you find them. We're everywhere. On the Twitter, you can get us, or X, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to stick with Twitter. I think it's creepy when people call it X. So if you want to find us there, at SlamPod, on Instagram, at SlamPod, WEEI, and you can get me on the socials, at Justin M. Turpin. For now, thank you for listening. Good day, God bless, and go Celtics.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.